Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on hope. Today's hadith, a little bit of a long hadith, but very beautiful hadith with great lessons in it. Hazrat Idban ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, one of those who participated in the Battle of Badr, he narrates. Notice that when a Sahabi participated in the Battle of Badr, it is expressly mentioned that he was a Sahabi, he was a Badri Sahabi. So, and like how we normally would narrate hadith and mention just the Sahabi's name. Sometimes if some outstanding quality of the Sahabi is present, then this also will be mentioned. So Idban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was one of those who participated in the Battle of Badr. He narrates, I used to lead my people, the Banu Salim, in Salah. When it used to rain, a river of water would form between me and them, making it difficult to reach their masjid. So I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that my eyesight is weak, and when it rains, water flows in a valley between me and my people, making it difficult to cross. I would like you to come into my house and offer salah at a place which I will make into a place of salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I will come. So Hazrat Idban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was the imam of a community, the Banu Salim. But as the hadith is mentioning, that what would happen is when it would rain, then the valley would get filled with water. There wasn't a drainage system like how we got. So a lot of water would come. And it become very difficult for him to cross that water and go to that place and be the imam of that area. And he was of weak eyesight also. So he's requesting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Islam was still new at that time. People were still accepting Islam. So it wasn't such that everywhere Muslims were found like how we get now. So in his, he says, suggested Rasulullah SAW, come to my place and perform salah there. I will make that place where I will perform my salah. Obviously, when there is issues for him to go across, so this is now where he will perform his salah. So in other words, a place of salah in the house. So therefore, ulama also explained, it's nice to have one place in the house, like a namaz room, a salah room. Not so that the person performs his faraz salah, no, but nafil salah at home. At least he got one place in the house, like a namaz room, if he's got that space. If he doesn't have the space, at least you have a musalla placed in one area where salah is performed in the house regularly, because this also attracts the malaika, this also attracts rahmat, etc. So anyway, we learn from here that he calls and he invites Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and pray in his house, make salah in his house, and he says, I will make that the place of salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I will come. In one hadith it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu joined. Can you imagine what a powerful jamaat went to his house? Anyway, the hadith goes on. The following day, when the sun was quite hot, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sought permission to enter. I gave him permission, but he did not sit down and ask me that where in your house would you like me to offer salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the first thing he did was he asked permission to enter. What we learn from here is that it doesn't matter who you are, what status you are. You go to someone's house, you have to get permission before you enter. There's no such thing as entering without permission and not even looking into the house. Person shouldn't look into the house. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he went for a maqsad. It's another thing we're learning from here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for a purpose. The first thing he did was to fulfill that purpose that he went for. So he asked permission, can I enter? When he was given permission, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't go and sit down in the house. He asked, where is the place that you want to perform salah? So he showed it to him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I indicated to the place where I preferred him to perform salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and said the takbir, and we made a row and prayed behind him, performed salah behind him. He offered two rakats of salah and ended it with salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered two rakats of salat and ended it with salam. Here we find that one person can lead other people in salah, even nafil salah, so long as it's not a nafil salah where people are invited and called. So it is four or less people, there is no harm, they can perform nafil salah also in jamaat. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things that he did was, he performed salah in this person's house. Now can you imagine, now this was an area that was far away from Masjid al-Nabawi. It wasn't just another place that they started salah that was near Masjid. It was far, it was distant. So a great visitors had come to this house. Now when they were there, the news went out that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in this house. So people started thronging and flocking around that area. People started coming to this house. There's a very, very great personality here. Not that they were invited or anything, but their news went, and naturally sahaba was sahaba. The hearts were very, very clean. They all started coming to the house. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the salah. He ended it with salam. We did the same. I then asked him to remain behind to eat khazira, which had been prepared for him. Khazira is a dish that is prepared with pieces of bread and fatty pieces of meat. It's like a dish that is normally eaten by the Arabs, a dish with bread and some fatty pieces of meat, like a soup type of a thing. So he said, I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain behind and eat this khazira. When my neighbors heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in my house, they began entering until many people gathered. One of them asked, where is Malik? This was another sahabi. So one person asked, where is this other sahabi? We don't see him here. Normally we expect to see him here, but he's not here. In one riwayat it comes that this is Malik ibn Dukhshun radiallahu anhu. So where is this sahabi? So one person is asking that question. So another person replies. So first the person that is asking is saying, where is this person? I do not see him. Another replied, that man is a hypocrite. He does not love Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. Somebody is asking, where is Malik ibn Dukhshun? Another person is replying to that person's question. He's saying, no, he is a hypocrite. He doesn't like Allah Ta'ala and he doesn't like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is overhearing this conversation that is taking place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not say that. Do you not see that he testifies that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and he says it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? The man said, Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. As far as we know, his inclinations and conversations are only with the hypocrites. So this person is explaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what we are hearing about this person. It's only inclined towards the hypocrites. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that this is the part that ties up with this chapter that we're doing on hope. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one who testifies that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, desiring thereby the pleasure of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala makes it unlawful for him to enter Jahannam. This person, only thing he's doing, this hadith is mentioning in this hadith, is that this person is saying the kalima with firm belief in the kalima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that this person, Allah will make Jahannam haram for him. So he won't enter into Jahannam. Yeah, as you explained, that the person won't remain there forever. The person will go, if he's got gunas, go. This is the law in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the explanation of Maulana Tanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, one is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is the extra mercy of Allah ta'ala. On that day, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to apply, one is the law that is there in place, this is the law, this person will go into Jahannam, and he will be cleansed. But one is that mercy of Allah ta'ala, which is in his hands. If Allah ta'ala wishes on that day, he can put the person directly into Jannat, even though he is a sinful person. Allah ta'ala will cleanse him from his side. So this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, what we learn from this hadith is hope. So Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. One other point that ulama bring from this hadith is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that this particular sahabi was being referred to as a munafiq and he doesn't like Allah ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defended the izzat of this sahabi and said, don't say that. So if we have to hear somebody picking out against someone else, and the right thing we should do is just defend that person. Obviously, where a person is not openly doing wrong, where a person openly doing wrong and things are not right, then it needs to be said. But where something is secret and we're not sure, we don't know, somebody said, no, he stole money, somebody said he did the town down, we're not sure, people are talking about him, the right thing says at that time, don't speak that. We don't know for sure, nobody knows for sure. So give the benefit of the doubt and save the izzat and the respect of a believer. This is something that is very, very important. Another point that comes out from this hadith is that it is meritorious that to request du'as from the pious. Yeah, he requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make du'a, and he made du'a for him. It is permissible to call some pious people home to read salah, for example, in the house, so that barakat comes in the house, it is permissible. Obviously, it mustn't go beyond the means where people now start making this a habit and a custom. Another thing also we learn from here is that to accept a dawah, to accept a meal in a situation like this, there is no harm. And another thing also that we learn, that where there is a very valid excuse for performing salah at home, then it is permissible to perform salah at home. Not that a person can't perform. Here he had a genuine reason, so it was permissible for him to perform salah. The main thing is the salah must not be neglected and the salah must not be missed. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal. How many lessons we get from this hadith of Ibn Ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.